and that that they do that they do have a they may have some other rights that may not be impacted by what we do with this legislation. So it's an unanswered question. It's something that's going to be decided in the courts. And so for those reasons, I stand in opposition to this bill, and I encourage those of you that do have constituents that use Monte Carlo for raising funds for activities like the Rendezvous that I did a rod and other activities that we really enjoy to press the red button.
Further debate? Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, please call in the House.
There's a call placed on the House. Members, please stand briefly at ease while the call is being satisfied. Mr. Sergeant-at-Arms, has the call been satisfied? The call has been satisfied. Are you ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt the Senate Bill 172? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
22 yeas, 18 nays.
And so Senate Bill 172 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader, would you move the effective
date? Madam Speaker, move the effective date clause.
Motion before the body is the adoption of the effective date clause. Representative Cabina?
Speaker, I just want to understand the effective date clause. The effective date clause then would put it back to the March date.
Right. Ready for the question? Question being, shall the House adopt the effective date clause? And members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
34 yeas, 6 nays.
And so the effective date clause has passed the House. Mr. Minority Leader?
I'll serve notice of reconsideration on SB 172.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on 172. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess until 2 o'clock.
We are in recess until 2 p.m. House, come back to order. Would members please indicate their presence to establish a quorum? We do have a quorum present to conduct business. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar? Representative Martin, sorry.
Yes, Madam Speaker, if you don't mind, I'd like to take this moment to introduce a very special person that you all don't know, but you don't know what new heights that he has risen to. Tonight, in another city far, far away, it's the annual American Society for Public Administrators annual award banquet, and we're very pleased to announce that it is in Alaskan this year that gets the Administrator of the Year Award. But instead of being in this faraway city, he decided it was more important to stay here in Juneau and help his university and get housing for the university statewide. So I'd like to proudly introduce our Chancellor at UAA, Mr. Lee Gorsuch.
Further guests for introduction? This brings us down the calendar. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
CS for Senate Joint Resolution Number 19 by the Senate Resources Committee requesting the Congress to amend the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act to clarify that the term public lands means only federal land and water and that any extension of federal jurisdiction onto adjacent land and water is expressly prohibited.
We are under debate. Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Representative Nicolai.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate the opportunity to speak against this bill. I do firmly stand in opposition to this resolution. I think that it is, again, a divisive measure to divide the Alaskans once again, and that it does attack, some people are saying that it does not attack subsistence. I really do think that it does. It does attack a lifestyle that that I lead and that I really do care about, and I know that the people in my district do also. I think that it's an important part of our lifestyle. Without it, we would be very lost. We would be in debt to the stores that we have in our communities. We do depend heavily on the fish and game that we have in our areas. And then I also would like to add this again to the record that when Senator Stevens was up here, he did say that that he will not do anything with ANILCA until there is a consensus with all of the groups in Alaska. And I say to you that there, with this resolution, there is no consensus. All of the letters that I received from rural Alaska are in opposition to this resolution. The Alaska Federations of Natives is also in opposition to this resolution. So is Tanana Chiefs Conference and all the rural communities in the state of Alaska. So I just say to you that there is no consensus with this resolution, and I know that when it gets and if it does pass this body, that it will not go anywhere in Washington, D.C. And I urge a vote no on this resolution.
Representative Kelly?
Call the House, Madam Speaker.
There is a call on the House. Representative Theriault?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I hope the one thing that we can all agree to about ANILCA is that it is a subject or cause of some confusion. Right now, the state is litigating with the federal government, the one case that the administration is pursuing, over what it means by public lands. Did the Congress mean public lands to be construed, the federal lands, private lands, and the state lands? We're right now running the risk of losing management of our fisheries resource in the state because of that confusion. What this resolution asks for is clarification primarily on that point. It doesn't talk about the rural preference at all. It didn't. The sponsor of the resolution specifically didn't want to get into that debate. What we're asking Congress for is a clarification primarily on what was their intent. Did they intend the federal government to come in and take over management of the state's fish and wildlife resources on both the federal and state land? I would put to you that the administration is in court right now trying to litigate that, and it would be helpful if Congress would give us some clarification.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The point being made is somehow this doesn't have anything to do with rural preference. Madam Speaker, I attempted in the Judiciary Committee to amend it to so to be in that form, but my amendment failed. What it still says on page 2, line 27 on, is that the legislature requests the Congress to clear up the intent that or to clarify that the intent, the original intent of Congress was to not preempt state management of fish and wildlife in Alaska. Now, the previous speaker's right. Some of the other resolve clauses do go on to speak to the issues that he was speaking about and how far the extension of the concept of public lands goes, but this one doesn't deal with that at all. There's no words about public lands in here. It says that if you vote for this, you're against, in any case, preempting state management of fish and wildlife in Alaska. And, Madam Speaker, certainly in the case of federal lands, which are covered by this resolve, there is a wide, wide gap in sort of the positions people have. And I, for one, have believed that it's appropriate that the federal government, in the case of those federal lands where the state has not been able to adopt a rural preference, that they institute management in those areas. So I do think this could have been crafted in a way to leave out the rural preference issue and the subsistence issue, but it wasn't. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Further debate? House, please stand at ease. Mr. Sergeant at Arms, has the call been satisfied?
It has been satisfied.
Further debate? Representative Ogun.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to ask the members in here two questions.
I wonder if they understand what the meaning of a compact is, statehood compact. A compact is not just a law, it is a contract. And it's a deal. It can't be amended because without agreement on both parties. And the other thing I would like to ask is, does everyone in here have a clear understanding of the difference between Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and the Alaska National Lands, National Interest Lands Conservation Act? ANILCA and ANSCA are often confused and intermixed, and I request that everyone in here please take the time to understand the difference between the two, because I have heard senior members, more senior members in this body, actually confuse them in debate. There's a lot of ambiguity about it, and as you can all guess, I'm going to support this resolution. Thank you.
Are you ready for the question? Representative McLean.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in opposition to this piece of legislation, and the reason I do so, Madam Speaker, is that it is not good for rural Alaskans, Madam Speaker. And the reason I say this is that we live in harsh conditions, and we survive through hard conditions. And, Madam Speaker, subsistence is just a small part of our entire culture. And it takes years for a whaler to learn how to whale, Madam Speaker. And so this resolution does not do anything to even expand our subsistence hunting. In fact, it goes against the grain of thought. Madam Speaker, if you have read today's papers, we're now under federal law, and now today's papers have recorded that the court toughens and extends rural preference ban in subsistence. Madam Speaker, that's what we're under now. And state has not managed our subsistence laws at all. So therefore, I oppose this bill.
Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Very, very briefly. Minusculely brief. That we do definitely need to keep in mind that this is a state's rights issue. It is not a revisiting of whether or not we're talking about subsistence. It just says, federal government, stand at ease while we get this thing resolved, and please go back to the original intent. Let us know what you truly, truly meant when you said jurisdiction over your lands, federal lands, state lands, waterways, but let's don't do anything more to mess this muck up. I'd advise that you vote for this bill.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, Madam Speaker, I think if you truly want to not muck things up and you want to maintain the status quo, you should vote against this resolution. As you've heard in the previous, from the few previous participants in the debate here, there clearly is a very strong difference of opinion on that, and that's the point we've been trying to make, or a number of us have been trying to make during the debate on a number of these kinds of issues on the floor, is that if we continue to advance these unilateral thrusts to Congress, Madam Speaker, the result will be further polarization. Madam Speaker, I believe that we just need to have a moratorium on this sort of resolution and allow the process to work over the summertime, over the interim, and to hope that we can bring people together. This kind of resolution, in spite of claims to the contrary that somehow this is not an attempt to deal with subsistence, Madam Speaker, it clearly has an effect in that direction. And I appreciate the fact that the intent perhaps wasn't there, but Madam Speaker, the effect is very real, that it will serve to further polarize the debate. And for that, Madam Speaker, I urge my colleagues to vote no on this, not because they support one position or the other, but because they support a truce and they support a time when we bring people together and try to discuss this thing without further heat and with more light. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
You ready for the question? Representative Finkelstein, you have spoken on this issue.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise to move that we go back to second reading for the purpose of a specific amendment.
There is objection.
Madam Speaker, in order to avoid passing it out and distributing it, may I describe it?
Very briefly.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. It would just strike the first resolve clause. And in explaining what it does, the first resolve clause is different from the rest. It doesn't deal with the differentiations between various categories of public lands. It's a more sweeping statement.
Motion before the body is to return to the second for the purpose of a specific amendment. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. The Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
11 yeas, 29 nays.
So the motion to return to second has failed to pass. We're under debate. Further debate, are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 19? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
25 yeas, 15 nays.
And so, committee substitute for Senate Joint Resolution 19 has passed the House. Would the clerk please read the next item on today's calendar?
There's citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent the citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations are approved. Representative Nicolai?
Notice of my reconsideration, vote of reconsideration on SJR 19.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on SJR 19. With the leave of the body, I would like to return up the calendar to reports from special committees. Is there objection for reading across the free limited powers? Without objection, we are back up the calendar under special committee reports. Madam Clerk?
The Conference Committee considering CS for Senate Bill 123 Finance and CS for Senate Bill 123 Finance amended House, an act relating to student loan programs and fees for review of post-secondary education institutions relating to the post-secondary student exchange program administered by the Western Interstate Commission on Higher Education. Effective date, respectfully request limited powers of free conference on the following specific point. Student loans relating to career education in Section 1 of CSSB 123 FIN. The report was signed by Representatives Bundy, Veazey, and Brown, and Senators Green, Phillips, and Ellis.
Without objection, limited powers of free conference will be granted to that conference committee. Brings us back down the calendar to unfinished business. Mr. Majority Leader.
Brief at ease, Madam Speaker.
House, briefly stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Would the House please come back to order? I have to be able to see Bryce. Representative Bryce, I'm sorry. Thank you, Representative Martin. Representative Hanley?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to move back to introduction of guests.
Without objection, we are under introduction of guests.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have a constituent here today who's the natural resources consultant down lobbying on a piece of legislation that just came over from the other side. And if you'd help me welcome David Lappy.
Further guests for introduction? This brings us down the calendar to unfinished business. I do have one piece of unfinished business. This morning in making the bill referrals on House Resolution 11 requesting Congress to clarify that the Reindeer Industry Act of 1937 no longer applies in the state of Alaska, I want to make another bill referral to the Rural Trade State Federal Issues Committee as the first committee of hearing. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. The members go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the committee substitute for House Bill number 35 Hess, an act relating to sexual misconduct as grounds for imposing disciplinary sanctions on persons licensed by the State Medical Board. Madam Speaker, I'd like to briefly explain the changes made in the Senate committee substitute. The only change is the language that describes the exceptions to the general rule that sexual contact by a licensee with a patient is prohibited. The House passed exception was as follows. Unless the patient is the licensee's spouse or a person in an equivalent domestic relationship with the licensee. The Senate passed exception is unless the patient was the licensee's spouse at the time of the contact or immediately preceding the physician-patient relationship was in a dating, courtship, or engagement relationship with the licensee. The change from is to was clarifies that the circumstances giving rise to the exception must have existed before the physician-patient relationship commenced, rather than just existing at the time of the disciplinary action. As to the change relating to relationships other than marriage, the House's equivalent domestic relationship language implied that the exception applied only to people living together because of the use of the term domestic. The Senate language is broader, pertaining to dating relationships, but is limited to those relationships that started before the physician-patient relationship started. I have spoken with the sponsor, Madam Speaker, and he concurs with the changes made by the Senate. With that, Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House concur with the Senate Hess Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 35 Hess amended, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 35 Hess amended Senate, and recommend the members vote yes.
Motion is to concur. Yeah. Mr. Minority Leader?
I object. Can we have an at ease, please?
House stand at ease. The motion before the body is a motion to concur with the Senate changes on House Bill 35. You ready for the question? Representative Parnell?
I know we're going to take a vote on this, but I just wondered if the member who objected still objects in the strenuous manner she did.
Representative Toohey?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I withdraw my objection. Thank you.
As soon as Representative Kelly gets here. Good. Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall the House adopt Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House, shall the House concur in the changes made Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 35? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Clerk, please tally the board.
36 yeas, 0 nays.
So the House has concurred with the Senate changes in House Bill 35. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that members go into limbo file in order that we may consider committee substitute for House Bill number 78, Finance amended. Madam Speaker, I would like to briefly explain the changes made in the Senate Committee Substitute. The Senate removed the House's exemptions for vessel licenses, commercial fishing licenses, crew member fishing licenses, entry permits, and interim use permits. Delinquent obligors with these licenses, if they were valid for more than 150 days when issued, would be covered the same as other licenses. The Senate bill adds a new Section 3. Subsection A provides that a person becomes permanently ineligible for AFDC after conviction for welfare fraud. Subsection B places a 60-month lifetime limit on AFDC benefits for an adult or pregnant woman, with two exceptions for disabled persons unable to perform gainful activity and parents who are caring for a child with a developmental disability. Neither provision takes effect if prohibited by federal law. The 60-month time limit does not start running until March 1, 1996. The Senate bill added a new Section 4 that reads as follows. H, notwithstanding the assistance payment schedules in Alaska Statute 4725.310 through 4725.420, if federal money available to the state for assistance under Alaska Statute 4725.310 through 4725.420 is less than the federal money available during the previous federal fiscal year, the department shall adjust the monetary maximums and payment amounts authorized under this section so that the general fund money from non-federal sources does not replace the federal money reduction. In Section 6, on page 16, the Senate added a new statute in Section 4725.364 that places a two-year time limit on AFDC payments for the family of a person assigned to the jobs program. The family would be ineligible for AFDC for 5 years after the 2 years of benefits expires. There are exceptions relating to disabled persons, failure of the department to provide child care, and transportation expenses, inability to find employment at a level of earnings that would be higher than AFDC benefits, and other unique circumstances as determined by DHSS. This time limit can only be implemented if not prohibited under federal law. The two-year time limit does not start running until March 1, 1996. The Senate version also changed the time limit for benefits under the Unemployed Parent Project for 2 years. The House limit was 3 years. The Senate did not pass the special effective date, so all provisions of their bill would take effect in 90 days. The House version had an immediate effective date for the provisions relating to minor parents living with their parents. The directive to DHSS to apply for waivers and the authorization for DHSS to begin drafting regulations to implement the bill so these provisions would be delayed 90 days by the Senate version. The House had a January 1, 1996 effective date for the provisions relating to licenses to delinquent obligors, so these provisions would take effect earlier under the Senate version. Madam Speaker, I have checked with the sponsor of the bill. He does concur with the changes made by the Senate Committee Substitute to Committee Substitute for House Bill 78 Finance. Madam Speaker, I move the House concur and the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill number 78 Finance amended, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 78 Finance, and urge the members to vote no.
Motion to concur is before us. Is there debate? Ready for the question? The question being, shall the House concur in the Senate changes in House Bill 78? Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Cott? Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please lock the roll and tally the board.
0 yeas, 38 nays.
And so the House fails to concur with the changes made in the Senate on House Bill 78. The conferees from the House will be Representative Betty Davis, Representative Mark Hanley, and Representative Cynthia Toohey. Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the members go into the limbo file in order that we may consider the committee substitute for House Bill number 233, Finance Amended, an act extending the termination dates of certain boards and commissions and providing for an effective date. I would like to briefly explain the changes made in the Senate committee substitute. The Senate version amends the termination dates of the following boards and commissions in the following ways. The Board of Clinical Social Worker Examiners from June 30, 2005 to June 30, 1996. The Board of Marine Pilots from June 30, 1999 to June 30, 1996. The Board of Marital and Family Therapy from 2005 to 1996. The State Medical Board from 2003 to 1996. The Board of Nursing from 2003 to 1996. The Board of Psychologists and Psychological Associate Examiners from 2005 to 1996. Real Estate Commission from 2004 to 1996. Special Education Service Agency from 2004 to 1996. The Senate Finance Committee substitute also amends the repeal date of Alaska Statute 3332, Provisions for Correctional Industries, from July 1, 1999 to July 1, 1997. Finally, on page 2, line 21, the Senate version deletes the following sentence. This act is exempt from the provisions of Alaska Statute 4466010C that limits extension of a board or commission to a period of 4 years. I spoke with the chairman of the Labor and Commerce Committee, and he does not object to the changes made by the Senate. That, Madam Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House concur with the Senate Finance Committee substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 233 Finance amended, thus adopting Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 233 Finance amended Senate, and recommend the members vote yes.
Motion is to concur. Okay. Representative Martin.
Madam Speaker, could we have at ease, please?
House briefly stand at ease. Come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
I'm going to repeat this whole motion.
Madam Speaker,
I would like to change my motion I just made to urging the members to vote no.
Motion is to concur with the changes made in the Senate on House Bill 233. Members, please proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? The clerk, please tally the board.
0 yeas, 37 nays.
And so the House has failed to concur with the Senate changes on House Bill 233. I will appoint a conference committee. The chairman will be Representative Cott, Representative Martin, Representative John Davies, and the conference committee will be granted limited powers of free conference. Mr. Majority Leader, further unfinished business?
None, ma'am.
Anybody else have any unfinished business? Okay. Representative Bryce?
Okay, yes. Thank you, Madam Speaker. In seriousness, though, I would move that House Bill 298, 299, and 300 be withdrawn from the Finance Committee and brought to the floor.
There is objection. Mr. House, briefly stand at ease, Mr. Minority Leader. House, come back to order. Representative Bryce.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Briefly, House Bill 298, 299, and
Representative Bryce, did you have a further statement you want to make before you get into explaining?
Exactly. Those are HB 298 is the APA negotiated contract.
299 is the IBU, the Inland Boatman Union's negotiated contract, and House Bill 300 is the Local 71 negotiated contract. And it's just that I'm growing concerned that these bills are not receiving the proper response that I think they should be receiving, so I'd like to see drag them out of the Finance Committee and get them on the floor.
Is that all, Representative Bryce? Is that okay. All, Representative Bryce?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Before I get roses thrown at me, I'll withdraw.
Thank you very much, Representative Bryce. Motion is withdrawn. Representative Finkelstein?
Madam Speaker, I've got two motions. One of them is the same motion previously made, which I assume
that would be ruled out of order, Representative Finkelstein. It has been withdrawn.
No, I'm making the motion, Madam Speaker. I just want to make a statement. He withdrew it before I could make my statement. Madam Speaker, I'm not getting to the merits of the issue, but there are many bills that deserve committee consideration. The difference in this issue, it's up or down. We can't change the contract. It's a decision all of us has to make, and committee consideration isn't as relevant in those cases. It's not that they're going to make any fine-tuning. It's up or down in the contract.
Representative Finkelstein, would you please save these comments for special orders? We do not have an issue in front of us on the floor right now for debate.
Well, I did make the motion. I now withdraw the motion, and can I make a third motion, Madam Speaker?
Probably not, Representative Finkelstein.
Well, give it a chance, Madam Speaker. I missed the remarks of our distinguished majority leader there. Madam Speaker, I'd move that we take up reconsideration of Senate Bill 92 at this time. Madam Speaker, that's the bill relating to AHFC and the Executive Budget Act.
Reconsideration of Senate Bill 92.
That's right.
Mr. Majority Leader, House briefly stand at ease. House come back to order. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just to point out, on this particular bill, the administration is trying to work with the senator from Fairbanks, who chairs the Finance Committee, in regards to some language that they may need to have in this. And with that, I would ask that and move that we hold reconsideration of this bill until tomorrow to give them an opportunity to perhaps work out something on that.
Without objection, reconsideration of Senate Bill 92 will be held for tomorrow's calendar. Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to waive Senate Bill 58 from committee. It's an act relating to the use of the title industrial hygienist. I have checked with all members of the committee, and they have voiced no objection.
Without objection, that bill will be waived from Labor and Commerce. Mr. Minority Leader.
Does that bill have another committee that it's already been heard in, or does it go to another committee?
We were the second committee referral.
Further unfinished business. Committee announcements. Do we have any committee announcements? Representative Cott.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Earlier this morning, my colleague sitting to my left handed me a note and was wondering if I could put HB 364 on the fast track for passage this session. So in trying to appease him, I have decided to call a committee meeting tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 to discuss House Bill 364, and it's an act dealing with telecommunications utilities. Madam Speaker, in light of the objection, I withdraw the committee announcement.
Further committee announcements. Representative Bundy.
A legitimate committee announcement.
Representative Bundy has the floor.
Thank you. The conference committee with limited free powers on SB 123 will meet at the call of the chair in the Hess Committee Room 106.
Further committee announcements? House briefly stand at ease. Further committee announcements. General announcements. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. There'll be a majority caucus immediately following session.
Special orders. Representative Ogun.
A picnic tomorrow.
If you want to, you can.
Adjournment party tonight, or has that been put off?
Any special orders?
Madam Speaker, first, before special orders.
Before special orders, Representative Cabina, under announcements?
We'll have a very short minority caucus right after session.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, moving as unanimous consent. The House stand adjournment until 10 o'clock a.m. Thursday.
No,
I'm sorry. 7 o'clock p.m. Thursday, May the 11th.
House is adjourned until 7 o'clock p.m. tomorrow night.